Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
An airline pilot who became incapacitated during a flight from Chicago to Columbus, Ohio on November 19th has died. The pilot, whose name has not been released, was flying under the banner American Eagle, with service from Chicago O'Hare to John Glenn International Airport. Approximately 30 minutes into the flight, the pilot flying as first officer notified air traffic control, "Need to return, the captain is incapacitated." The flight was cleared to go back to O'Hare, and a stark reminder why two pilots will always be on commercial flights. Thanksgiving in politics has led many families to boiling points. Declaring a no-politics zone may be one way to avoid emotional dialogue. Katie Lewis from our Midwest Bureau has some other ideas.
Tensions are high when it comes to politics, and many Americans don't want that kind of talk at the Thanksgiving table. According to a Quinnipiac poll, nearly two-thirds of respondents say they're hoping to avoid politics this coming holiday. The same poll showed that 6 in 10 Americans believe former President Donald Trump announcing a third run for the presidency is a bad idea, while more than 60% of Republicans said they're still behind him. Even though we haven't gotten through this Thanksgiving yet, people may still feel the same next Thanksgiving, since half of Americans believe political divisions will only worsen over the next year. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
This week, the Oregon coast is experiencing a series of king tides, which are the highest tides of the year. Now, the term is not scientific and refers to when the moon, sun, and earth align at their closest points and the gravitational pull on the earth is the greatest. Thanks for listening, and a happy Thanksgiving to you, my friend. We are USA Radio News.
Did you know that you can easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
As the Biden administration attempts to paint a pretty picture on America's financial woes, another report reveals just the opposite. Initial jobless benefit claims rose by 17,000 to just about a quarter million in the week ending November 19th. That report comes from the U.S. Labor Department. Economists polled by the Wall Street Journal had estimated new claims would rise only 3,000. That's a far cry from 17,000. It's the highest level of claims since mid-August. Some high schoolers were shot about a block away from school in the city of brotherly love yesterday. Tony Maruso from our Gulf Coast Bureau has more.
Four Overbrook High School students were shot Wednesday morning shortly after being dismissed for the Thanksgiving break. Two 15-year-old girls were injured and two 16-year-old boys were also injured. Police said all students were taken to local hospitals and are in stable condition. There's been no word on what led to that shooting. Tony Wallington, the Philadelphia School District Superintendent, spoke about the plans to keep students safe.
This is a law enforcement matter. We appreciate law enforcement's swift response. On the school district side, we will continue to invest in our Safe Pass program. Chief Kevin Bethlen and his team are working on that around the clock, making enhancements and improvements, and we're going to redouble our efforts and continue to work with the city and the state to address this unacceptable problem in Philadelphia.
From the Gulf Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Tony Maruso.
Well, we hope your Thanksgiving is filled with love and joy. We are USA Radio News. I'm Lance Pry.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. That's 800-562-2407. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us. And he is back, the New York Times bestselling author, Martin Dugard, and his new book, Taking Berlin, The Bloody Race to Defeat the Third Reich, just in time for this year's annual commemoration of Veterans Day, Martin. Well, I'll tell you, this book is perfectly timed. You're a genius.
I'd like to take credit, but it's not me.
Well, we love timing. It's amazing sometimes how things happen even in spite of ourselves, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, anything that takes us back to World War II and helps us understand what's going on, especially in a society that wants to de-emphasize American exceptionalism and heroism, Taking Berlin is another part of the historic historic record that you have been dedicated to presenting to us. So explain to our audience, Taking Berlin, where are we right now and what's about to happen?
Well, this is a series. So the first book in the series is Taking Paris, and mm-hmm. we ended that with the liberation of Paris in August 1944. And I just really felt like I needed to tell the rest of the story. So mm-hmm. I had intended to start, just pick it up right there, they liberate Paris and boom, we move on to Berlin. But I realized to kind of give the story more context, I needed to spend some time on that whole summer of 1944. So we open with D-Day, and we introduce the four main characters, it's Patton, Churchill, General James Gavin, the paratroop general, and then Martha mm-hmm. Gellhorn, the third wife of Ernest Hemingway, who's also a fantastic journalist in her own right. So then we follow the advanced appearance through their eyes.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we have Joseph Stalin involved too, right?
He's there. I have to admit that I talked about the Soviets and I talked about Operation Bagration, which was their version of D-Day, which was massive. I mean, it was like four or five times the size and scope of D-Day. Mm-hmm. Just such a punishing blow against the Germans. But Stalin is he's a little bit like a stalking horse in this thing. I wanted to keep the narrative focused. So he's a secondary villain to Hitler, and he'll make appearances here and there, kind of foreshadowing, if you're saying what's going on in the world right now, because the things that Stalin did during the course over the months that this book took place, would influence the formation of the Soviet Union, they're taking all these other nations that they captured in World War II and not giving them back and forming the Soviet bloc. And now, all the stuff with Putin trying to retake the Ukraine, that's mm-hmm. right out of Stalin's playbook. So it's everything that happens in my book in 1944, mm-hmm. 1945 is still living out right now.
Exactly. Do you kind of sense that you're hearing General Patton screaming from his grave, "I told you so"?
You know what? All the time. It's every time. I mean, I love to write about Patton. I've written about him two or three different books, and he's such a great character. But the one thing that he's remembered for so many things, so many bold actions during the war, battles and just moments of audacity. But the one thing I think he should be remembered for is warning the world that that we needed to advance further. We needed to go as far east as possible, you know, liberate those nations that the Soviets didn't want to give freedom to, and and really set up a different post-World War II world.
Exactly. Well, he could see it quite clearly. There was no doubt the genius of Patton, but unfortunately, they Eisenhower wanted to make sure that his wings were clipped and appreciated his energy. But no, there was going to be a beginning to an end because Eisenhower didn't want this thing to to be endless, right?
Well, I think too, Eisenhower was more political than we give him credit for. He's relentlessly political, actually, and. You know, I think he was taking his directions from the White House. Roosevelt, for some reason, had much more trust for Stalin than he should have, even though Churchill was warning him against it. And you know, for the good of his career, I mean, in Eisenhower's defense, he saved about 100,000 American lives by not pushing all the way into Berlin. But we could have taken that southern route that Patton was doing and accomplished the same thing in a much more expeditious manner.
Well, Patton to me has always been kind of the ideal, and just, you know, being a somewhat of a casual student of the military, not to the degree that you are, Martin, but still, I look at it in terms of, you know, the heart of a general that is serious about being about the military business. And that is when you bring the military on the battlefield, you got to just let them do their work, get out of the way. And as they do, then. You know, you'll bring people back to where they belong, and that's at the negotiation table. And unfortunately, I think we've lost some of that translation and some of that gravitas that, Patton brought to the military.
Well, you bring up a good point. You know, this period that I'm writing about here, June 1944 to May 1945, was definitely focused on capturing Berlin and, you know, bringing down Hitler, stopping the war in Europe so we could go over to Asia and finish the war in Japan. But at the same time, there was a very political play going on that hindered the true general like Patton, because all of a sudden, you know, the British had been in the war earlier, and they kind of felt like, and they had been ravaged, and they were impoverished. They wanted Montgomery to be the first one into Berlin, just because they felt like it was owed to them, and I understand that, because they had endured. The Soviets felt like they should be the first ones into Berlin because they had also suffered mightily. You know, the Russians, I mean, the Germans almost took Moscow. So, you know, so it was one of those things. And so you have a guy like Patton. When you think about it, I'm not going to say he's the last true general, but this is one of the last wars that you have a true objective where basically you're saying it's like old school, almost biblical type warfare where you go in, you take the enemy's fortress, you basically, by conquering that fortress, you have won the war, and that's the end of it. And that's what Patton was hoping to achieve. And, and politics got involved because of all these different things. And so then it began like, okay, we kind of want to be the first to Berlin, but let the Russians have it. We're going to pull back. You know, it just got very political. And I don't want to say Patton died at the right time, because he did die just before the end of the war, or just after the end of the war, but, you know, he was a guy that was not happy without a conflict. And I can kind of see Patton, if he'd had the chance, trying to find a way to reengage militarily in a way that would really confront the Russians.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, and the thing is that you find out so much after the fact, as you say, you know, our president was, you know, was yielded to Stalin. And it seemed like he was ignoring, you know, some signs here of what kind of ravaging he was doing. Because just even amongst his own people, I mean, the carnage that were the hands of Joseph Stalin is immeasurable almost.
Yeah, you know, the thing about it is, in Roosevelt is such a political animal. And the way he got played by Stalin is great. And I think it's interesting that when Truman comes in, he's supposed to be this neophyte. And Truman figures it out right away. Truman wants no part of Stalin. He knows he's a bad guy. And that's a little twist. I don't spend any time at all on Truman. Well, a little bit at the very end on Truman. But that little political interchange is really interesting. And the fact that Truman had just enough sense to kind of, kind of confront Stalin just at the right times, I think was the saving grace, because the Soviets, I think,
dump. Got to go to quick break. Yeah. We've got more from Martin Dugard talking about his new book right after this.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
How would you like to publish and sell your own audiobook? Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. You'll choose from one of our many voice actors. Bring your story to life with audiobooks. Consumers are mobile these days, and having an audiobook helps authors reach a larger customer base, which increases book sales. From narration, production, and editing, to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network does it all for you. We hold your hand throughout the entire production process. We'll create an audiobook that you can be proud of. It doesn't cost or take as much time as you may think. In fact, for us, it's pretty easy. It's what we do. If you've got a published print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, give Audiobook Network a call right now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-781-0987. 800-781-0987. That's 800-781-0987.
We're back with the American 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Fresh and independent, just the way you'd like to hear from us. I'm Bill Martinez, Martin Dugard, the best-selling author of Taking Paris. This is part two of the series. It's Taking Berlin, the bloody race to defeat the Third Reich. Okay, so earlier we were talking about, just laying out where we are here. We've already taken Paris. Now we're moving on to Berlin. But this isn't a cakewalk. I mean, we've got a battle. We got battle royals yet right in front of us, right?
Yeah, everybody thought it was going to be a cakewalk, too, because we were already, by September 1944, the U.S. was focused on transitioning, how to get men over to Japan to fight in the Pacific. So we thought the war was all but over. We thought Germany was was on their heels. But once we pushed Germany out of France and we got them back behind the German border, they fought to defend their homeland, and it became very, very complicated, very, very... the U.S. Army is great, but German Army at the time was one of the best fighting forces in the world, and they still had plenty of men and plenty of material, you know, in the winter of 1944 to do a lot of damage. You know, mm-hmm. And when people think about the Battle of the Bulge, it's kind of this really, you know, we think about this German counteroffensive, and they're trying to do what people don't know is Hitler was trying to drive a wedge between Patton's group in the south and Montgomery's group in the north and get all the way to the sea and basically have this big Nazi corridor in there, and then he was going to sue for peace. So that was finally, you know, Hitler was doing something offensive to take it back, and the fact that he was able to accomplish that and might have gotten away with it shows us the fact that they were not on their heels like we had thought.
Exactly. Well, there's one thing, you know, when you're fighting, you know, outside of your homeland, but when you're protecting your own homeland, it's all or nothing. I mean, the fierceness, and this is what you present in your book, Taking Berlin, is, the kind of activity, the kind of, military action that took place was nothing short of just 100% fierceness, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know what, it's weird, because like when I went over there to research and I went through a lot of these battlefields, and you realize how vast the fighting must have been, because you have these wide open spaces. You have a lot of that part of the world, is that northern France and that corridor into Germany, is it's rugged, but at the same time it's a great place to wage war, because there's a lot of open spaces there. And to imagine the scale of the armies, the scale of, I always think about artillery and the fact that you could lob a shell so many miles with precision. It's just amazing what happened right there. And the heroism. You know, the one battle people don't think about is the Hurricane Forest.
One
of the longest battles of the war. And it was just miserable. It was muddy. It was one of the few times Americans turned and ran. It was just miserable, just horrible.
Yeah, and you know, the weather elements, this is what people... I mean, unless you've been in war, and you know, we're talking, certainly, this is what made this the greatest generation, was so many of this generation participated in the war. Today, we got less than 1% are in the military, and even of that 1%, how many actually realize a combat situation? And combat situation, just like you said, there, you know, where the elements, where you had, you know, mud and ice, and I mean, it's just incredible, you know, to consider for a moment what these men went through and what happened in terms of, you know, the fatalities that took place. I was talking with another author about the war right there, particularly in the southern southern arena. And it was, in a sense, almost like another version of Hamburger Hill.
Yeah, you know, when I think about the elements, you know, the winter of 1944 was one of the coldest on record. Mm-hmm. And I think about these guys who are on the front lines. They're in a foxhole. So you're basically in a hole. You're in a hole in the ground. It's, you know, you've got snow in there. You've got moisture. You've got people trying to find creative ways to use the restroom. You've got to find a way to feed yourself. And it's not like you can walk around to get warm. You have to stand there and just endure. And you're living there. You're sleeping there. And you just, the mental strength, I mean, just that I have so much admiration for what they endured, because
exactly,
you know, if I walk outside without a jacket, I'm unhappy. I can't imagine it being in a foxhole and you know, and then people are shooting at you, you know, and it's just,
oh yeah, by the way, you're dodging bullets and you got incoming. Yes, right.
Yeah, right.
unbelievable. So, as you say in the book, now the race is on. After Paris, it is a bloody race to defeat the Third Reich. And what we read also is that, you know, military strategists on both sides basically had the same mission. I mean, and they were equally committed. So this is, I mean, you talk about the ultimate battle here, strength against strength, power against power, right?
Yeah, and remember, too, the Russians wanted to get to Berlin before we did. And so they're supposed to be our ally, and they're doing everything they can to get there ahead of us. And of course, when they get there, they destroy the city. They ravage it. You know, they kill the men, they rape the women. It's just, it's brutal. It's just one of the horrible, horrible things.
Yeah.
And again, you know, remember James Gavin, one of my characters here, head of the 82nd Airborne, he was planning a jump onto Berlin. It was going to be the last big combat jump of World War II. They're going to land Berlin, take the airports, and he was actually going to jump with a full dress uniform so he could find the German command and accept their full surrender in full uniform.
Mm.
And despite the fact that all the planning took place in a closed room with, you know, with canvas over all the maps when people left the room, the Russians somehow found out all about it, and Stalin knew about it before that jump could take place, and he told his two commanders to get to Berlin first before the Americans pull off that jump.
Mm. Wow. It's really, you know, amazing how things worked out. And as you said, that the ramifications, the remnant of what wasn't handled appropriately in World War II, how that lingers today, right?
Well, you go back to this one, this thing floating around right now called the Big Lie. The Big Lie was invented by Adolf Hitler early in his time, you know, even before World War II, as a way of, you know, explaining, you know, how we want to get rid of the Jews. And so, and his whole thing is, if you tell a big enough lie, and if you tell them often enough, people will start to believe it. Well, you know, that soon became a page out of Stalin's playbook. That soon, now we see Putin used this, the same exact thing right now. That big lie concept, and it's all those things that happened then are happening again now. We need to be
exactly
careful, because it's not something that we can take lightly.
Exactly. Well, this is why words matter, why our First Amendment matters. And the recent move by Elon Musk to take over Twitter to unleash once again our First Amendment right, that has to be non-negotiable, Martin. For again, with the experiences that we've had, and in fact, there was a very, very small and powerful book titled "How Do You Kill 6 Million People?" And to your point, exactly, you just get them to buy into the lie.
That's true. It's true, and you know, I think that's why we fought that war in Europe specifically to protect the Constitution and to protect our First Amendment rights. And you know, God forbid that kind of mindset takes hold within our society. It's just you know, that anti-Constitution mentality. It's kind of chilling as I research these things, to read some of these things, to see them happening now, and to know that we think democracy is safe, and it's always going to be here, and it's very fragile. It's incredibly fragile.
Yeah, you've got this democratic republic if you can keep it, right? And as Ronald Reagan said, it's nothing that passes in the bloodstream from one generation to the next. It is something that, you know, liberty comes with a cost, and you have to be, you got to be all in. And that's what we the people signifies, in my humble opinion. Taking Berlin, the bloody race to defeat the Third Reich, Martin Dugard, best-selling author, has been with us. Martin, we got about 50 seconds left. What is the takeaway? What do you want the reader to get from your book?
What I want them to get? Well, first of all, I want them to buy my book.
Yes. Well, number one, yes, buy the book. Okay, yes.
Yeah, if you like the killing books, you're going to love this taking book. The takeaway I want people to know is I want people to know this chapter of history. I want people to know these characters. I want people to know what they went through. I want to know how this is foundational to what the world has gone through, the way the world has changed between 1945 and today. Everything is happening now, like I said, is recreating itself, but everything that has happened in the interim was set up during those days.
Exactly.
Just basically, June 1944 to May 1945, everything that's happened in the world since was, you know, the foundation was right there.
It's our history to be cherished. And Martin Dugard, thank you very much for reminding us. I appreciate it. Take care.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-398-0651, 800-398-0651, 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
The Washtenaw County Prosecutor's Office announced seven Michigan State football players have been charged for their actions during a post-game melee in Michigan Stadium's tunnel last month. The most serious charge is against cornerback Kerry Crump, who faces one count of felonious assault. The alleged trigger man in a fatal shooting of five people at a Colorado Springs gay nightclub was ordered held without bail in his initial court appearance Wednesday, as the suspect sat slumped over in a chair and showing visible signs of a beating. The suspect, 22-year-old Anderson Lee Aldrich, has instructed attorneys he identifies as non-binary and uses they-them pronouns. The next hearing is set for December 6th. Americans will eat roughly 46 million turkeys this year. That compares to 22 million on Christmas and 19 million on Easter. Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
I had thought my bowel and related organs were working well enough. I used an herbal laxative and magnesium sulfate about once a week, but my bowels had a day when they went on vacation. After the second day of using Green Med Away, I discovered that I was in denial about my bowel functioning. I now have 2 to 3 easy, comfortable, and healthy bowel movements a day. The same is true for my children, ages 8, 13, and 15, all of which admitted to having significantly improved bowel function when asked.
On a Google keyword search, the words constipation, stool softener, and laxative combined are searched up to 3 million times per month. Constipation is a silent epidemic in America, and most people are either in denial or do not want to admit to it. Over the years, Green Meadow Way has helped several other people have their bowels move again in an optimal manner. For the feeling of a clean intestinal tract and flat abdomen, see if Green Meadow Way can help you. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net.
The thing that we have here in our country today is when the process is strung out in the manner which it is. I mean, you've got really relatively small states compared to Florida, for example, and Florida had the numbers by the end of the day, the end of the evening. Everybody else, I mean, they've stretched this out, and all of a sudden, seats that you thought were going to go Republican suddenly are now going Democrat. And I don't blame you. I don't blame you for wondering. And here it is. The government is doing this to us again. You know, they're having us at each other's throats. And now we're going to be election deniers again. I mean, this is absurd. They're not serving the interests of the American people and these states. I mean, and not to mention, as I said with Larry Klayman, is that you got 80% of the country dissatisfied with the current administration and its policies, and Joe Biden then comes out afterwards because of this midterm election, which has a lot of people scratching their heads going, look, I get it. You know, everybody's making fun of, I was going to be a red wave. There's no red wave, not even a trickle, all that kind of, you know, crazy talk. But it, the perception, I mean, in a traditional sense, did not play itself out. And this is what makes it hard to believe, just like in 2020, what happened is the numbers did not seem to be indicative of what normally happens in a fairly controlled election. Reverend Jim Harden is with us. He's the president and CEO of Compassion Care, an expert in medical ethics and women's reproductive health care, is with us right now. Jim, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Bill, thanks for having me back. It's great to be with you.
Well, whether we're talking about abortion or everything else that was supposedly decided or, you know, was part of the consideration of this midterm elections, I mean, you had 80% of Americans agreeing that there should be, you know, some reasonable restrictions on abortion. But there are some states that have absolutely jumped the shark, and particularly shocking is what happened in Montana, Jim.
Yes, this was an anomalous midterm. I mean, there's so many things that are head scratchers. You know, I have to say, I don't want to, I don't want to be uncharitable, but whoever drafted that piece of, that referendum in Montana didn't understand the law as it stood. I mean, all physicians have a duty to care, and to create a referendum, for requiring a duty to care for a child born alive after a botched abortion is redundant. To vote it down, the law still stands. I mean, a doctor still has a duty to care for right. somebody that's their knee, right? That's their job. And that didn't change with the voting down of the referendum. People just didn't understand it. People didn't talk about it. People didn't understand. And the Republicans still didn't want to talk about it. Any Republican that refused to talk about the pro-life issue lost. And if they're going to invest in a referendum, they need to do their homework and talk to somebody like me or somebody who knows about women's reproductive health and the law, and create a referendum that actually makes sense. But instead, they're grasping at straws and trying to do things without promoting them, without educating people about it. And the Democratic Party, the pro-abortion politicians in charge of the Democratic Party figured out this is going to be a moral election. This is going to be about abortion, and they spent $1/3 of $1 billion promoting abortion, outspending many Republicans 35-1. And what did they do? They staved off the red wave, the red tide actually died on the beach.
Yeah, exactly. And Jim, more importantly, as you said, is that, you know, the Republicans really stole a defeat from the jaws of victory in this whole situation, because what did they think? I mean, could they not see and anticipate what was going on? Did they just take for granted that because of the movement and this is what gets them in trouble all the time, is they look at the numbers but they devalue what happens. You talk about waves, the emotional sentiment, and what the Democrats are good at doing. They're always good at lighting fires. And they found something that they could light up, was abortion, and then this whole issue, this faux argument about democracy. I mean, they are the destroyers of democracy straight up, and I think this is what was so appalling and incredulous for the Republicans to see, going, well, why are they championing that cause? But they, you know, to your point, they did nothing to refute it, and so they got on the beachhead. They got, you know, the position to hold that they were the arbiters and the saviors of democracy. Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, when you said that, I think about transference. There's a psychological concept called transference, where, you know, when somebody's got a problem, they actually think that everybody else has that problem, but not themselves.
Right.
Well,
right.
This is political transference, par excellence. And the Democrats, you know, always pass off the evils that they're perpetrating as to the Republicans, as if they're the ones that are perpetrating it. Republicans weren't trying to destroy democracy. They just, I don't know if it was a lack of understanding or cowardice or what, but when the Republicans refused to talk about abortion, when they refused to demonstrate the fact that they were pro-life, they lost. But when they stood strong, I mean, I think about DeSantis or DeWine in Ohio, or Abbott in Texas, or anybody else that stood strong on being pro-life, they won, despite the fact they were being outspent 35-1. You know, you're right. The Republicans defeated themselves because they failed to engage the moral issues.
I want to sit on that issue that you just brought up, because this is really key. The narrative from the mainstream media is all candidates that supported life lost. And I go, where? What are you talking about? What are the numbers, Jim, that you know, you just cited, you know, four real quick references, in, you know, from DeSantis to DeWine and others that supported that supported life, and they won. But yet what we're hearing from the mainstream media is that all these candidates that supported, you know, especially congressional candidates, lost their elections based on their position on life. And I don't have those numbers.
Yeah. Well, I haven't found anybody that's too strong on life and lost. That's the problem is when I started to see people scrubbing back in August after the primaries, we started to see Republican, ostensibly pro-life candidates scrubbing their website of any moral issues, including where they stand on the life issue. I think about Barbara Kirkmeyer out in Colorado, or Blake Masters in Arizona, or Scott Jensen, you know, for governor out there, and I think it was Minnesota. You know, they're starting. You know, they even Lee Zeldin in New York refused to talk about it. They hid behind crime or inflation. But the biggest crime that's being perpetrated on this country right now is abortion. Why? Yeah. Because that if a government refuses to protect all life equally, that is the foundation of destruction for civilized order. You've got to protect the most weak, the most vulnerable. And if you don't do that, equality is just a sham. You're just another oppressor.
Well, for 49 years, we've been living with this insanity. And by experience, the people were speaking out, led by women who bought into the lie. And their voices were somewhat squashed by a minority. And now it's minority rule. Forget about majority rule. And these women's voices were canceled, as you know, Jim. I mean, the heartbreak, the fact that women carry with them till the day they die the reality that they aborted their child. And I keep saying this to people, and, you know, because one of the things I hear repeatedly from women is they admit to me, not that I'm their priest, but as we're talking about it, and with tears in their eyes, they will say, Bill, my child would have been 7 today, or my child would have been 14. And when you hear that, it, you know, your heart, you know, for sympathy and empathy's sake, just crushes under the pain that they're expressing to you.
Yeah.
It's absolutely heartbreaking, Jim.
It is heartbreaking, but there is hope. And, you know, yes. It was always going to take more than a midterm to return to valuing all human life equally, Bob.
Right.
And Bill, I'm sorry, Bill. And it's just going to take a little longer now. You know, government.
But we got to be serious about it. Got to go to break. More from Jim after this.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-459-9156, 800-459-9156, 800-459-9156. That's 800-459-9156, NMLS 6606, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend, subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
If your refrigerator, your washer, your dryer, or any other major appliance in your home breaks right now, do you have an extra $1,000 laying around to fix it or buy a new one? And hey, that's on the low end. Wouldn't you rather spend $1 a day and make sure all the major appliances in your home are guaranteed to be fixed or replaced? Then call the Home Service Club right now for a free quote and a free month. Trust us, any major appliance in your home is guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You could spend $1 a day and have the peace of mind and the coverage for all your major appliances. Or you could be prepared to shell out thousands of dollars or more without protection. So call right now and get a free quote and a free month. Call right now.
800-238-9153. 800-238-9153. 800-238-9153. That's 800-238-9153.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special
DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Hey, we're back with you. Fresh and independent, just the way you'd like to hear from us. I'm Bill Martinez. It's 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Reverend Jim Harden continues with us, the president and CEO of Compass Care and expert in medical ethics and women's reproductive health care. Jim, I think, you know, where we are right now as a nation, people of faith, we've been praying, you know, for life. God's real clear in his word. We believe that to be the case. 49 years of experience of Roe, 63 million plus. We're not even talking abortifacient children that have been murdered chemically. The sale of baby parts, the moral depravity that we've reduced to. God has ways of judging us. And I think one of the worst ways that he can judge us is just leave us to our own devices. And what we are seeing right now is having it our way. And it's just, you and I can see this so clearly. You know, we're like watchmen on the wall, and we're sending out warnings. I mean, sometimes I feel like Ezekiel or Jeremiah, you know, trying to tell the people, wake up here. And it's falling on deaf ears. And I'm not sure if God is, I'm not sensing that God has told me, quit praying for him. Don't even talk to him anymore. They're totally debased, and we need to let them go. But I just believe right now where we are is that we serve a sovereign God who loves his creation, and he wants his creation to return. And, you know, and until that moment of final judgment comes upon us, there is still hope. And that's what we're holding on to, is that we're holding on to God's values, and in such a way to where, you know, maybe it is like the law of gravity, where people have to experience the defiance of that law and get bruised up and broken up enough to finally maybe they start seeing the error of their ways. I don't know, because after 49 years, you got Montana doing what they're doing, California the same way, Jim. I mean, they're, you know, it's almost like, let's be the state that is known for, you know, the most radical, abortion rights that we can possibly come up with. You know, it's just disgusting. Go ahead.
This is what we're experiencing, is the compassion of the cruel. I mean, as you described it, sin carries its own consequences. And we're gonna see that. We see that immediately, as you described at the end of the last segment, with women and their experiences of abortion and how it harms them, not just psychologically, emotionally, but also physically. You know, exactly. We're also, but it also carries a longer term ramification, and that is when we extract people from the population like this, when we destroy them, it harms us morally. It harms the nation spiritually. It harms the nation economically. It harms the nation in every way you can possibly imagine, because human beings are the crown of creation. And the Bible says we ought not to shed another man's blood because we're made in the image of God. And when we reject that, we're rejecting the truth about what it means to be human under God. And everything else starts to crumble after that. Sin carries its own consequences, short term and long term. There is a moral law, and the moral law emanates from the ground of all being, who is God himself. And we're designed to reflect him. And when we reject him, we reject his moral law. And are we surprised that things fall apart? Are we surprised that people resort to violence to get their own way? Are we surprised? I mean, I'm happy that that we're surprised, right? I'm happy that we're always, that there's this thing that wells up inside us that says, this is wrong. This is wrong. I can't believe it's happening. We're a stubborn people. Our necks are made of you know, iron sinews. That's how stubborn we are. We refuse to bow. And it's going to come back to hurt us. But there is a silver lining. There is a silver lining, I think, for believers like you and I, Bill. And I think the silver lining is that people are going to be less tempted after this election to believe that returning to a political party of elected representatives can save us. Jesus is our Savior. Systemic injustices like abortion need to be rectified by the prophetic voice of the people of God. That's the way it's always been, and it's the way it will always be. And so you doing what you're doing today is exactly what the people of God ought to be doing from now until the day of eternity. That's what we're called to do in a fallen dark. That's what Christians look like in a fallen world. That's why we're supposed to be. That's why we're called light, and that's why that's why the world is called darkness.
Exactly. Well, Jim, you know, I appreciate your encouragement because you know, like anybody that's given this charge to speak to darkness, it can, you know, at times it can wear you out. And you think, okay, God, you know, am I doing what you've called me to do here? Am I just, you know, speaking to, you know, an empty darkness that has no ears to hear? Am I casting pearls before swine? And, but I have to do what I believe, regardless of what I might feel. I just believe that this is what God's called me to do and to continue, because you're exactly right. There's not going to, you know, it's not going to be Donald Trump. It's not going to be Joe Biden. It's not going to be any, it's got to be a God sanctified voice that breaks through and pierces the darkness in such a way to where people will take heed and listen, because of all, you know, the things like we've talked about, there's political transference, there's cultural transference, all these lies and deceptions that have been put out in the culture. And if you say anything that's out of step with the status quo, you're immediately canceled and attacked. I mean, look what happened to Jesus. So, and Jesus said, hey, look, they did it to me, so get in line if you want to follow me, right? So, you know, I accept that admonition that that's going to be the case. But meanwhile, I still have this heart, you know, of compassion. Like you said, we're all made in God's image. And God loved us so much. I mean, Jim, I think you and I talked about this before. I'm not sure that I would have sent my son to die in my state, that I would have sent my son to die for a bunch of knucklehead evil people, stiff-necked people. You know, it takes a God, like Almighty God, to look beyond that, to really demonstrate what true love is all about. And right now, that is not being demonstrated. And maybe, you know, and I say sometimes, I go, well, maybe God, we're just not supposed to this side of heaven. Maybe we just get an idea of the speed limit and that's about it. But we really can't embrace and enjoy the fullness of your liberties and your love until we get with you. Maybe. I don't know.
The fullness of God's liberty comes with walking in his footsteps today. And walking in the footsteps of Christ means self-sacrifice. And that's tough. I mean, it's really hard to do, especially as Americans. We live like kings and queens. We do. And to embrace self-sacrifice and unpopularity, to sacrifice our reputation for something so unpopular as this systemic injustice, which is abortion, the greatest injustice the world has ever seen. What we are going to be experiencing great pain and frustration. Whether it's if only it was just emotional, but now we know that we're being attacked physically too. I mean, our place was firebombed.
Of course. Yes, you know? Exactly.
Jesus, as you described, Jesus demonstrates his love for us by showing us what love actually is, and it's self-sacrifice. And what is abortion? Abortion represents the opposite. It is sacrificing, it's sacrificing your neighbor for yourself. And Jesus said, what is true love? It's sacrificing yourself for your neighbor. And that's what parents are supposed to do. And that's where true life comes from. It issues out of a willingness to sacrifice yourself and all of your resources for the good and benefit of another person. And that is the story. That's the story of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus became our Good Samaritan so that we can be the Good Samaritan of those that are weak and vulnerable among us. And that there's no one more weak and vulnerable than a child in the womb whose mother thinks that she has to choose between herself and her child. It just doesn't have to be that way. There is hope. You and I in Christ represent hope for a dying world and for a world who thinks that death is a solution for their problems.
Yeah.
Because that's what abortion is. They view it as a solution, but it's not.
Exactly.
It's hopelessness.
It's probably one of the most selfish acts that you can do in this realm of humanity. You know, you think about it. And as you said, God has already established his laws. It's baked in the cake, so to speak. I mean, the infrastructure of righteousness is there. And you violate that just like you violate the law of gravity. In some cases, you know, as the book of Ecclesiastes says, because, you know, sin is not, you know, there's not an immediate retribution for sin. It ends up just snowballing. And that's the thing that's scary for me, Jim, because it's that old Pennzoil commercial, you can pay me now or pay me later. Later always gets more complicated and more expensive and more painful. And I believe this is where we are as a nation, as a culture right now, is we're paying later and we're just compounding the interests of pain, are we not?
We are. We are. The Bible says without vision, I was reading this morning in Proverbs, you talked about Ecclesiastes.
Yes.
Without vision, the people perish. And I think what he's referring to there in terms of vision is a revelation from God.
Exactly. Exactly.
We can't get there on our own. We can't figure out what the purpose of life is on our own. And if you've got 350 million people deciding what right and wrong is and what the purpose of life is, there's no basis for a common understanding of good. And therefore there's no basis for a justice system. There's no basis for equality or dignity or anything else like that. It's just, the only thing I have right left is pure and desire for fulfilling my appetite, my own pleasures, and it always violates the law of God, and we've got to be careful about that. And Jesus gave us a vision of himself, and that's where life is.
Jim Harden, thank you for your wisdom and your time to come on the show and, you know, address this issue. This is something that for those that have ears to hear, they needed to hear. And may they be encouraged, may they be blessed, may they feel the love of Almighty God. The President and CEO of Compassion Care, Reverend Jim Harden, has been with us. Thank you, Jim. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population